hard.
It's awesome, yeah.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. We've got an action-packed evening, and we're going to actually hear a resolution and an ordinance. And the first is on Vision PDX, and the second is authorizing an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to designate the Multnomah Youth Commission as an official youth advisory group to the City of Portland and the City Council. So I know we have a lot of people to speak tonight, but since we're hearing the young people's issue second, and many of them have school and other things tomorrow, plus curfew and all those things, we'll try to keep it reasonable so we can get to them as well.
We're going late tonight.
City Council will come to order. Sue, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard. Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. Please read the 6 o'clock time certain.
Item 1127, accept the Vision PDX reports and recommendations.
Tonight, the City Council is hearing a resolution that not only is exciting to me, but one that reflects 2 years of capturing the aspirations of our city, the ideas of more than 15,000 Portlanders, the hard work of the hundreds of volunteers, and the thousands of hours devoted to making Vision PDX a reality. Tonight, you will hear how Vision PDX was created and from the people who created it. And after a year of outreach and a second round of open house group discussions, emails and surveys that actually put us back from our original deadline, I'm going to ask the council at the end of this to adopt the resolution. But this is really only a first step. From here, there will be a council work session on November 14th to discuss implementation strategies and have council provide input and direction. We will develop the timelines for shifting responsibility to the Planning Bureau to develop the Portland Plan and the creation of a community coalition to provide oversight and support for the implementation of Vision PDX. At each step of the way, we will continue to ask the community for its guidance. And you can begin by visiting our website at www.portlandonline.com/planning. To see the vision itself and also to provide comments. I'd like to thank all the PDX volunteers, Vision PDX volunteers, who made this report possible. Could you folks please stand up, all the volunteers? Please stand. I'd like to also thank all the community grantees, many of whom are here tonight participating in our community fair, who have brought fresh voices and fresh perspectives to the vision work. Could you please stand up, community grantees? And as I said 2 years ago, I wanted many people as possible to engage in this process, and 15,000 Portlanders responded. If you filled out a survey or worked as a volunteer in some other way contributed to the success of Vision PDX, could you please stand up? There we go. I want to thank all of you for your hard work in helping create our community vision. One important question must be addressed at the outset. I've been asked over the last week, what happens to the vision when I leave office? I understand the concerns of those asking the question. The vision that Portlanders have helped create is their vision, and it will remain their vision no matter who is the next mayor. All of us have a stake in building an intentional and sustainable future, and Vision PDX has been a great vehicle for creating a way for us to come together and to plan for Portland's future challenges. Making the vision a reality will take all of us working together. That action will begin to take shape on November 14th when the council will have a public work session on the Portland Plan. The Portland Plan will translate the vision into policy. In a moment, we will also hear about the Community Coalition, a group that will be charged with overseeing implementation of the vision and making sure that the community remains involved. And community grants will provide ways for community members to take action in their own communities. Visioning has been invaluable to cities around the world, and we are honored tonight to have guests from out of town who can tell us what this process has meant to their cities and how they are making it happen. We're going to have three speakers. The first will be Ken Cameron, and is the Manager of Policy and Planning for the Greater Vancouver, British Columbia Regional District. He has held senior positions in local government since 1978. He's been instrumental in bringing about an agreement of 20 municipalities around a livable regional strategic plan. In 1997, he was elected a Fellow of the Canadian Institute of Planners, the highest professional honor available to Canadian planners. The second speaker is John Lewis. He is with the Community Sustainability with Imagine Calgary in Calgary, Alberta. John is a key member of Imagine Calgary development team and is now leading the creation of community structures to implement the plan across a wide variety of community partners. Engaging 18,000 citizens, Imagine Calgary is widely regarded as the largest civic visioning exercise undertaken anywhere in the world. In June, Imagine Calgary was awarded the 2007 Federation of Canadian Municipalities Award for Sustainable Community Planning. And some folks will recognize our last guest and our friend, Eric King, who used to work here in the city but is now an assistant city manager with the city of Bend. Prior to that, Eric worked for the city of Portland for nearly 10 years and the last seven in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. His responsibilities in Bend include serving as the city liaison to the Bend 2030 board and is responsible for promoting the Bend 2030 vision and working with community partners. If you folks could please come forward. Thank you for being here. And Ken, if we could start with you.
Certainly. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. It's an honor to be here in Portland, and particularly on such an important occasion. I visited Portland a number of times over the years, and I've always been impressed with your city. I think Portland's record as a paragon in planning and building a beautiful, efficient, human-scale city stands second to none other cities in North America. And now you're taking a further step following on your heritage of plans by Olmsted and Bartholomew, who also did some planning for Vancouver. I've been asked to address two questions. One is, why long-term planning? And the second one is, why sustainability as a focus for longer-term planning? So there are three good reasons, I think, for long-term planning. I draw some of them from a book that I just completed earlier this month with the Honorable Mike Harcourt, a former Premier of British Columbia, called City Making in Paradise, Nine Decisions That Saved Vancouver. And we try to look at why Greater Vancouver is one of the most livable cities in the world. And we conclude from the book that it is because the city and the region developed leaders and it developed plans that the leaders could apply their efforts to. So we have a vision in our region that was developed in the 1950s called a series of cities in a sea of green, that we'd always have a working landscape in our region. And that vision has carried on through all of the plans that have been done since then. And that's because of the plans and the leadership to follow those plans. So that's the first reason. The second reason for long-term planning is that it allows you to discover what we call solution spaces, perspectives in a longer-term space that's longer than a term of office, and place where apparent conflicts can be reconciled. And you mentioned in your introduction the Liberal Region Strategic Plan, which had a 30-year focus, and it was the ability to focus on that longer-term direction and the decisions that needed to be made for that that enabled our 21 municipalities to formally buy into it. And the third reason for long-range planning is that it informs short-term decision-making. It helps making today's decisions and tomorrow's because you can ask, will this decision take us closer to our longer-term vision, or will it take us further away? So why sustainability, which we define as an integrated perspective balancing social, economic, environmental, and cultural aspects? And here again, there are three good reasons for having that as a focus. First of all, it's comprehensive. It enables you to respond to complexity. If you look at some of the serious issues that are plaguing our cities today, you realize that they're not just planning issues, they're not just social issues, they're a mix of things. Homelessness, which is a serious problem in our city, is a good example. It involves some housing matters, but it also involves social and economic circumstances as well. So sustainability is comprehensive. Sustainability, secondly, allows you to combine both your global and the local perspectives and our responsibilities to the future of our species on this planet. I think most of us know in our hearts that we'll be in dire straits globally unless we get our cities right and get them right with sustainability, both here and in the other parts of the world which are growing and changing so rapidly. The third reason for sustainability is an intergenerational one. It compels us to think and to focus on the needs of our children and their children's. And our First Nations people in British Columbia speak and think in terms of seven generations to come. And sustainability helps you to look at things from that perspective. One final piece of advice from our current situation, and that is it's important to know when to move from talking and visioning to planning and taking action. We in Greater Vancouver have not made that transition very successfully. We seem to be stuck in some perpetual dialogue about the future rather than getting on with some decisions. And so that's one of the reasons why Mr. Harcourt and I wrote this book, which we characterize as a pat on the back for our citizens and a kick in the butt to get going.
Thank you.
Where can we get your book?
I just happen to have several dozen copies with me.
Thank you. John?
Thank you. First, I'd like to congratulate the City of Portland, the Vision PDX Committee, and the 15,000 Portlanders that helped get this extraordinary project to this point. I'll briefly share some of our experiences with Imagine Calgary with the Council as you consider moving forward on Vision PDX. I recently came across an excellent quote that fits this evening. It's not what the vision is, it's what the vision does. So the first thing that a vision does in our experience is it provides a common focus. Imagine Calgary used a similar approach to Vision PDX in that it's tried to connect with harder-to-reach communities, the ones that aren't in the typical open house planning process. And we tried to connect with our citizens in a variety of ways at various events and community festivals. So by doing this, we learned some extraordinary things about our community. We heard things that someone might expect for the City of Calgary. They value being close to the Rocky Mountains. They value our rivers. They value our pathways. But this inclusive approach also allowed us to hear from a young man who just arrived from Africa who said he values no longer being a child soldier. So going through this process allows you to better understand your community and really discover values that can provide a common focus. The second thing a vision does is provides a common language. Certainly this has been the case with Imagine Calgary, and it's a work in progress, but it's improving day by day. Building off this set of common values that resonate with your community, the vision begins to create that common language that's shared across the community. This has been our experience, and we now have a fairly diverse set of actors that are now acting towards this one sustainability plan. The inclusive nature of the Vision PDX process certainly sets the stage for this shared language to develop. I have a story of a basketball coach I had quite a few years ago now, who kept harping on the fact that the five players on the floor needed to know the same play, they needed to know what the objective was, and they needed to know what each player's role was. And he coined a phrase for all that called same-pagedness. And that's what I keep coming back to in my work with Imagine Calgary. This common focus and this common language that I spoke of, action can then take place in a more coordinated and collaborative fashion. So with Imagine Calgary right now, we have 45 community organizations that have signed on as partners to act towards their part of the plan. So that includes the City of Calgary, the University of Calgary, the Calgary Board of Education, the Health Region, and a variety of nonprofits and corporations. So internally within the City of Calgary, the municipal government structure, there's been a great deal of action towards corporate alignment with Imagine Calgary. That includes the development of a new integrated land use and mobility plan, and sort of across the corporation, our three-year business planning process, Imagine Calgary is now a key input into that. So Imagine Calgary has been a great opportunity for same-pagedness across the community and within the City of Calgary itself. So in closing, Vision PDX represents an excellent citizen mandate for the community that you can use to be intentional about your future. And that's the approach that Imagine Calgary has taken. And certainly commend you for your work. And again, it's not what the vision is, it's what the vision does. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
I've never heard the word same page.
I believe you coined that.
Did you coin that word same pageness?
No, I stole it from my coach.
That's a good word.
Eric?
Well, it's a real honor to be here tonight. It's I have a unique perspective being having 10 years working for the City of Portland and now being on the east side of the mountains representing the City of Bend coming here. I can tell you I feel a lot lighter being over here, being outside coming in. So it's a nice feeling. The City of Bend undertook a visioning process in 2005. It was the largest public involvement effort the city has ever undertaken. And it really was bigger than just the city. It was a community-owned vision, much like what you're striving for here in Portland. It was an 18-month process of developing a vision. And then really what I want to talk about today is how the City of Bend translated that vision into action. There was about a six-month process where we pulled in, much like Calgary, all of our lead partner organizations. So it included the school district, the park district, the community college, just to name a few. There was over 60 organizations involved in that. And we have sort of six focus areas of the vision, I think similar to Portland. And out of that action planning team process came a five-year action plan to implement that vision. That action plan was accepted by City Council back in January of 2007. And the idea was to have a public-private partnership to implement that vision, and that had to be bigger, again, bigger than the city. So a nonprofit organization was formed, the Bend 2030 Board, and the city, through the creation of the position that I hold as assistant city manager, I am a liaison to that organization and help that board get itself organized and really oversee the implementation of the vision. And it's exciting because where we are right now, just 7-8 months into this vision, is that we've got over 80% of our action. We've got 270 action items. 80% are underway or have been completed. And that is a result, I think, of the momentum that was built during that community engagement phase. So we had so many folks that were new to the city that had participated. Bend is a city that is going through a lot of change. We were a city of 20,000 people in 1990. We are 75,000 right now, one of the fastest growing cities in Oregon. And so we had all this untapped social capital. And I think much like Portland, where you're trying to really engage underrepresented communities, Bend also had a lot of folks that just really hadn't established themselves in that community. That vision helped to do that. And it helped to build some credibility amongst the public agencies and also a whole host of nonprofits in that area to sort of say, here's what we are. It was really about packaging and marketing all this good work that was being done. So part of our action planning team process had those organizations bringing forward what they're already doing and saying, you know, we are meeting what this vision has outlined. It wasn't sort of these new ideas that might take a lot of resources to get started, it was let's start there. Let's start with what we are doing and packaging it in a way that meets what our vision is. And I think that's proven really successful for Bend, and that's hence why we've had such a high success rate of implementation. In fact, I just spoke this morning at the International Association of Public Participation at a conference in Bend, highlighting our visioning process, and I think we've been noted as being able to really transition that vision into action in a pretty successful way. We followed the Hillsborough model to some degree and worked a lot with Stephen Ames, a consultant. So it's exciting work. I can't tell you how rewarding it is to be able to really be a part of a community-owned vision. And, you know, it really has helped build the external relationships. The city of Bend we've been growing so fast and dealing with catching up with all the just the basic infrastructure. We haven't had time to build relationships out in the community, and the Bend 2030 is a vehicle for that to happen, and we're starting to gain some credibility and some trust back in the community. And as you know, that's a huge issue, that trust of local of all levels of government, and I feel like we're making strides in Bend. So I congratulate you, and I'm thankful to be here and really want to see this move forward.
Thank you, folks, very much. Thank you for providing the insight into what your communities are doing and how some of the things are similar and each of us do it somewhat different. I'd also like to now introduce the co-chairs of Vision PDX. When we started this, we wanted to make sure that we were going to have the kind of leadership that would be inclusive and strong and supportive. And I think we already found it in the two co-chairs of Vision PDX. The first is Marvin Kaiser. He is the Dean of Arts and Sciences at Portland State University and is involved in many community activities and boards and is a true friend of our community, and I appreciate what he has done. The second is Sheila Martin. She is the director of the Metropolitan Studies at PSU. And the two of them have really brought a synergy to the process of Vision PDX, and I appreciate so much what they have done. Marvin and Sheila, could you please come forward?
For the record, I am Marvin Kaiser. We want to thank you, Mayor Potter and commissioners, for allowing us to participate in this journey, and also for the privilege of representing a whole group of citizens, many of whom are here this evening, who participated with us in this last year and 4 months or so that we've been on this journey. Sheila is going to take you through some of the key points in the process of Vision PDX, but first I'd like to share with all of you why I and other Portland citizens have decided to accept the mayor's invitation to help lead this process. I thought it was a unique opportunity to take another step in building on Portland's history of creating remarkable scenarios for the city's future, other visions that have come before us. I was also excited about the difference of this effort from some of the other planning efforts in which I have been involved. Let me elaborate on a few of those. The first was that it was intended to be truly a community-led effort. And as you saw earlier this evening, we had a large and very diverse committee. And the committee itself defined the process and ensured that it was transparent and open all the way through. The second difference was this process made a special effort to engage people who had never before been asked what was important to them and what they wanted from their city. I think for each of us on the Vision PDX, this has been transformational. I know it has for me personally. Because now this group of people that we've talked about have had the experience of making their voices heard. They expect to continue to be involved in their community in ways that they have never been before. And that kind of community commitment is important both for their own and for our collective futures. It is also different because of its breadth. We didn't just imagine the future of the physical parts of the city, although that's important, the building, roads, bridges. We ask about all parts of our city, its people, its environment, its economy, and its educational infrastructure, as well as bricks and mortars. After all, the buildings, the roads, the economy, the educational system are here to serve the people of Portland. So we need to know what people want from them in order to understand how they should be designed. What emerged as the heart of this visioning process is a set of shared values. As with other members of the committee, I personally read through hundreds of pages of survey responses, and the thing that struck me was the amazing amount of agreement on these core values. We have built our vision from these core values, and we can use them, we believe, as a guide to our future. And as you have seen in our vision document, the key values that we heard over and over were and are community connectedness and distinctiveness, equity and accessibility, and sustainability. Those are the values that Portlanders told us that are at the top of their list.
Thank you, Marvin, and thank you, Mayor, for allowing me to be a part of this process, and thank you, Commissioners, for the time that you've spent listening to us in your offices and keeping tabs on what we're doing. Now, I want to just briefly take you through the process, the timeline, and explain how we got to where we are today. We started this process in November of 2005 with our first Vision Committee meeting, and our committee spent the first few months deciding what we wanted to ask Portlanders and how we were going to ask them the questions that would feed into our vision. So the result of that process was the open-ended survey that I hope you all filled out. And it also resulted in the engagement and outreach plan. So in the spring and summer of 2006, we gathered surveys, we had focus groups and parties, and gathered community input from all over the city. This effort, as you've already heard, has brought information from about 15,000 Portlanders. So then, once that engagement phase was complete, we had to figure out, well, what the heck are we going to do with all this information? And that was not really a simple matter to figure out how to meaningfully digest all of this data. So the PSU Survey Research Lab helped us out by coding the information and putting it into digestible chunks of information that was sorted by important categories. So groups of survey responses that addressed specific issues. So then many of us spent our winter holidays reading these responses and summarizing the dominant values and the main themes. We worked in teams, so at least two people read every single survey response that those 15,000 Portlanders gave us, and we checked each other's work. We made sure that the values and themes that were gathering from these survey responses were consistent. So is that what you heard? Yeah, that's what I heard. What about somebody else who I know read this group of responses? So then once we were convinced that these summaries really represented the bulk of the survey responses, we used those summaries to draft the vision. So the vision, as Marvin mentioned, were born of the key values that were mentioned over and over in the survey. But we needed not just the values. We also needed some kind of a structure to build the vision on. And so we gained inspiration from Gil Williams, who's going to talk with you in a few minutes. He's a vision committee member and a landscape architect, and he drew us a picture of the four sides of our city, built, natural, social, and economic. And we adopted that structure with some changes. And one of the most important changes was that we felt that if we didn't add Learning Portland to the list, that we would not be doing justice to all of the comments that we heard about how fundamental education is to the future of our city. So with those five parts of Portland, the the environmental, the learning, the built city, and the social city, and the learning city, then we wrote a component of the city based on each of those elements. So then in May 2007, the draft booklet was released, and this past summer we spent getting feedback from the community on that draft. We incorporated that feedback into the final vision, and after talking to community groups, and we've been talking to community groups about how they can help us to implement the vision. Today, we're asking you to adopt the community's vision. Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and for years to come, we're going to ask that the vision be used, that you follow through on what the community has asked us for their future. This is the community's vision. It's not my vision. It's not Marvin's vision. It's not the mayor's vision. It's not even the committee's vision. The committee defined the process, but at each and every step, with every word we wrote in the vision, we checked back with the data, that the information that we got from those 15,000 Portlanders to make sure that we were being consistent with what they said. So now Marvin just has a couple of more comments, and we'll introduce the rest of our panel.
I want to point out, as you look at the vision document, that there are a number of challenges that we identified also in the document. By challenges, we mean issues in which we do not have agreement on how we ought to move forward, and you can imagine those. Issues like how to balance transportation options with sustainability, how to accommodate growth, how to find the appropriate balance between compassion and individual responsibility. These and several other issues we must continue to discuss further as a community as we move forward in implementing our vision. As with Sheila, I want to thank the City Council for the many times that you listened to us as members of our committees to hear what we were doing and what we were hearing. We ask you to adopt this vision, to use it as a guide for your policy and budget decisions in the future. And speaking on behalf of the institution that we both represent, Portland State University, we want you to know we are committed to taking part in making this vision a reality. We will do this not only as an educational institution, but also as a service provider, as a purchaser of goods and services, as a real estate developer, and as a community partner. In all these roles, with all of these decisions, we will turn to the vision for guidance, and we hope you will do the same. It is my pleasure now to introduce two of our colleagues, Zeke Smith and Keith Thomagen, who will talk to you about the community engagement effort.
Okay, we're going to liven it up a little bit here.
So,
just a joke. Mr. Mayor, esteemed council members, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. My name is Zeke Smith, and I'm proud to be a member of the City Vision Committee, also known as Vision PDX. I had the fortune of chairing our engagement committee as we developed a framework for ensuring both breadth and depth in our outreach to community members. We developed three guiding criteria. One was that we wanted to create community ownership through meaningful process and outcomes. The second one was that we wanted to involve as much of the public as possible while focusing on underrepresented populations in particular. And the third is that we wanted to maintain the engagement over time. So Vision PDX successfully engaged Portlanders in an open discussion about the city's future and their place in it, including populations such as young people, as elders, immigrants and refugees, and people with disabilities, just to name a few. So a couple of important facts. You've heard about the number 13,000 in terms of the number of surveys that came in. We also know that there were interviews with 39 recognized community leaders to identify key issues. Grants were given to 29 organizations throughout Portland to engage the public through creative outreach strategies. And grantee organizations leveraged thousands of volunteer hours and tens of thousands of additional dollars to support that effort. When the City Council launched Vision PDX, the project was not only charged with creating a vision document, but it was equally important that the process
was about engagement. And we saw this as a critical component of effective community governance. Through Vision PDX, this city has provided more opportunities for community members to participate and provide input on the city, to the city, on what we want it to look like and what we want it to be than in recent history. You've heard about the survey. There were also house parties. There were video projects. There were interactive performances. There were one-on-one interviews. And there were focus groups and dialogue in areas of the city and with community members where this hasn't occurred before. As one group of elder Eastern European immigrants said, "How come the city hasn't come and talked to us and asked us about this before?" As you can see, there have been numerous opportunities for diverse voices to be heard from both traditional and non-traditional leaders and community members. To be honest, this has meant that at times the process has felt muddy, complicated, and even a bit difficult. It can take longer to move to decisions. It can take longer to move to action. But at the end of the day, this is the kind of distributed community involvement and leadership that is exactly what public process can and should be all about. I want to express my appreciation for the support each of you as our elected officials have given to this process and for the foresight that you've shown in recognizing the power of a vision and a set of values that are shared throughout Portland by communities that have been here for hundreds of years and those that have newly arrived. It's actually the shared values in this document that have the most significant staying power and can help shape decision-making in our future. So I, for one, look forward to working together with you to move forward in implementing this vision. And in so doing, we ensure that the doors of public policy in Portland stay open to all who have a stake in our future. It's been an honor to participate on this journey over the last 2 years. Thank you for this opportunity to share my perspective as a parent, a Northeast Portland resident, a Vision Committee member, an engaged Portland citizen, and as a member of Portland's Native American community.
For the record, my name is Keith Tomagin. Mr. Mayor, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to share perspectives with you about Vision PDX and the role it has played in our community. Until an event this morning, I had a fairly clear sense of what I intended to say here tonight. This morning, however, at a meeting of the Portland Parks Board, of which I'm a proud member, I had a kind of heartening epiphany that now has me working slightly off script. My insight came in the course of listening to a brief overview of the Parks 2020 vision, its genesis, its creation process, and the role it plays today for the Bureau and the community. Now, it's worth noting here that in my perception and in the perception of most community members, Parks 2020 is the gold standard for community engagement and visioning, taking its place beside hallowed and iconic Portland visions, like the turn of the century Olmsted Plan and the more recent downtown plan. What I learned this morning reinforced for me the magnitude of the opportunity we have before us with Vision PDX. From those individuals who were involved in the creation of Parks 2020, I learned that their process was fraught with pitfalls and setbacks, that it was at times cumbersome, that it was beset with countless stops and starts along the way, and that naysayers were omnipresent. Further, at the point of delivery to the council, these citizens felt uncertain as to Parks 2020's future usefulness and/or viability. What they did know, however, was that their process had been thorough. It had reached and catalyzed a broad cross-section of the community, and the content of their vision was well-informed, well-intended, and represented the genuine aspirations of the community. We stand at a similar place tonight with Vision PDX. Some 2 years ago, when this process began, there arose a small din of dissent, suggesting that the process was ill-advised, that it was ethereal, vague, and without purpose or substance. Thus, it might be said that the real test of Vision PDX will not be here tonight, as you hear from citizens, both in support of the vision, and others who will seek to point out where the metaphorical glass is half full. Those same cheers of applause and hisses of dissent plagued Parks 2020 at this same juncture. Say what you will about the final document that is Vision PDX, but know that it incorporates the voice, hopes, and intentions of thousands of Portlanders. That depth of engagement in and of itself is heady stuff, and it's created tangible, positive outcomes for our community. In closing, 2 years from inception, we as community volunteers and citizens have done our part. We now vest in you the responsibility to catalyze and coordinate the action and implementation of Vision PDX as the people's vision. It was this moment and that process of implementation that transformed Parks 2020 into an unquestioned success. I, for one, look forward to the day 30 years from now when Vision PDX takes its place along with Portland's other shining examples of community engagement, the Olmsted Plan, the Downtown Plan, and yes, Parks 2020. Vision PDX has a role to play, and I want to thank each of you in advance for acting as stewards of Vision PDX in the implementation phases ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keith and Zeke, very much. We would like now Gil Williams to say a few words about what Sheila described as the elements of the city that became the framing mechanism for us for our vision. Gil?
Mayor, members of the commission, I would do better if I had a napkin because I can draw it for you, but as I'm apt to do. As a landscape architect, typically I begin with visions, and a lot of that we call schematic design often, and it's a bunch of blobs and colors on paper. And I think for me, the hardest part of any of that is taking a vision and making it into something that's buildable. I think that in a lot of ways this process mirrors what I do on a daily basis, and I've needed ways as we're going through the process to frame it in my mind, one, so that it was, I think, representative of all Portlanders. And I think the aspects of the city, the economic, the built environmental learning, and the social aspects of the city will provide portals for any Portlander to enter into this process. I think the vision document is a dynamic document. It will be a living document over the next 30 years. And because of that, I don't think anybody can argue that they would have access into this process, whether they have a environmental bent, a learning bent, or a social bent, or whatever it is they need to come into it. I think Mr. Cameron mentioned how sustainability is a very comprehensive statement. I think I have a natural tendency to be very fond of natural sustainability, but I also understand that natural sustainability is very dependent on social sustainability and a very strong and stable economy. And it's also very dependent and runs dovetail with the built environment. And I think that's why outlaying this vision as a presentation document out in these five aspects is very appropriate, and that they all dovetail together. They all offer access from any part or any citizen of the community to get into this process. And to me, that's kind of the evolution of the notion of five aspects. In the beginning, it was four, but I think learning is a very important part of that, and that it's going to drive the future of the document. One of the last things that I'm asked often is you know, the vision, being a vision, it's manifest itself in the booklet we see here. I think that a vision is, you know, people ask me, what do you do with it? And I think now's the key, and this is the critical point, is with my visioning when I do it at work, it turns into built documents. We have to sit down. We have to work it all out and go through that process. And I think now is now you get to start using it. We get to start using it as a community. I think that that's the important part of this. One of the questions I'm often asked is, what do you do with it? And I think that, where do you plug it in? And I think one of my responses is to the community, where do you plug into the vision? And if you look at the five aspects, I think you'll have a doorway. Thank you.
Thank you, Gil. Next, I'd like to... Next, I'd like to call up Sue Midgall from Davis, Hibbets, and Midgall, local public opinion consultation firm, to talk about the polling results.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I've been asked to make a few comments tonight about the scientific study my firm recently conducted as part of Vision PDX. I realize there have been some concerns about the validity of the existing data and how representative it is of the general population. I will speak to that in a moment, but first, I think it's important to review the methodology of our recent study. We interviewed a random sample of Portland residents less than 2 weeks ago. Very recent results. The sample is representative of the general public. This is not a study of voters or another target group. Want to make that point pretty clear. This is of the general population. We completed 500 interviews, which is a large enough sample size to distinguish differences by subgroups and provides a bit more confidence in our data due to a smaller margin of error. Now, with that said, our findings validate much of the data already collected and analyzed from the 15,000 surveys through Vision PDX. You can feel more confident in your findings. While we asked additional questions in our study, much of the values that have been discussed earlier today in testimony are values that we found in our scientific study. Additional analysis, a full written report will be available in about another week after our complete analysis of the data. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue. Now that we have the community vision and you've heard some of the history and rationale behind our process and this confirmation of what we have found from Sue and trying to follow up, we are going to turn this over now to part of the Planning Commission and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement to talk some about the future and where we build from here. And I just want to say, as we leave this stand now, Sheila and I, again, we want to thank you all for this opportunity. As you can imagine, we've spent a lot of time together as a group of citizens here. We've become very close to each other. And it's been a wonderful experience. I think we've also had the experience of meeting a broad section of Portland that only other people in some ways would dream about, I think, through an opportunity like this. And so, again, I might express my personal appreciation to you, Mayor Potter, and to all of you for allowing us to do this. And now we turn over to Gil Kelly, who you all know is the Bureau of Planning Director, Amalia Alarcon, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the director of that, and Stephanie Stevens, the Vision PDX Project Manager. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Gil Kelly, Planning Director. I'll keep my comments brief. You all see me often enough, and there are a lot of people here to address you this evening. I just wanted to make a few points. The first one is that I'm very happy to receive the mantle or the baton here to carry on the work that's been done in the vision process and translate that into new policy and new actions for the city. Essentially, I think the work that's been done by this group, including all the citizen volunteers, has really provided us with a very profound touchstone about community values and a very good front end to what will be a very robust planning process going forward, and that will also engage the community about specific policies and actions that fall out of this work. So I'd like to say that the process has given us, I think, two key touchstones. One is that this is the first time in probably close to two decades that the city has checked in with citizens at this level about what they really care about Portland. And many of those statements are reflected in the document you have, but I would remind you, too, that we have, I think, over 20,000 pages of data in terms of responses that provide a real wealth of information that I think will help us going forward, particularly as we define some of the sharper issues and choices that people will need to make. Secondly, I would say that the engagement itself, as you heard some of the earlier speakers say, has provided its own level of benefit. That is clearly a set of communities within Portland that aren't typically engaged in the civic dialogue that we now have access to and need to follow through on. People who are frequently just too busy to participate have participated and have been reached. And we have learned new ways to communicate and to reach out, and that we need to follow through on that. One of the messages that you've heard is that while continued planning is good and essential, we also need to not wait to take action. And so really what we want to say to you tonight is that we kind of represent three legs of a stool here, that we need to continue with the Portland plan, and we will be back on November 13th in a work session with you and the Planning Commission to dig into that, so I won't go into that tonight. I've talked individually with each of you about that a bit, and I look forward to that effort. I also look forward to helping to create and staff the Vision to Action Coalition, which Stephanie will talk about in just a moment, because it's clear that we will need partners to carry forward the aspirations that are in the vision and that will be contained in the Portland plan. It's clearly something that goes beyond the city's capability to do all of. And so, as you heard the first speaker say, those partnerships are going to be crucial. It's also quite critical to involve the community now and on a continuing basis. And so Amalia will describe in a moment an enhancement of the Community Action Grant Program that we think is really important to cement those relationships and keep that energy going. So just wanted to say that as an introduction, and also to thank the staff who doesn't always get thanked. There were people who actually spent whole nights in the Planning Bureau offices, and we knew that because we saw bed rolls and they came to the work the next day dressed the same way they were before. So people put a lot of energy and time into going through all that information that we received from the community, distilling it down to the successive drafts that have ended in the document that's before you tonight. So I wanted to just give a special thanks to the Vision PDX staff for their work. Amalia.
Thank you. I'm Amalia Larcón de Morris. I'm the director of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and I am here to talk with you a little bit about the Community Action Grant Initiative, and that we're very excited to say would be a partnership between planning and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. We at the Office of Neighborhood Involvement know that grants, community grants, work. They engage the community, they seed partnerships, and they empower people to implement meaningful projects at the most local level. Community grant dollars can also be used to leverage other resources. For example, in fiscal year 06, $200,000 worth of neighborhood grants leveraged over $600,000 worth of in-kind and other matching local resources. As Gil also said, we know that the implementation of Vision PDX can't be done by government alone, that there need to be various partners, as we have also heard from the folks that were here speaking from other jurisdictions. And these grants would be a great way for community to take ownership at the ground level to implement some of the projects related to the findings in Vision PDX. There are many questions to consider in putting forward a proposal of community grants. And tonight, we're merely asking you to consider supporting the concept. As Gil said, there will be staffing of a committee and further discussion about more details regarding criteria and process that will be brought to council in the future.
Thank you. My name is Stephanie Stevens. I am the Vision PDX project manager. And I'm here to talk about that third leg of the stool. We have the Portland Plan, which is around long-term planning. We have the community action grants with immediate action initiated by community members. But I'm here to talk about the Vision Into Action Coalition. Let me start by saying how honored I feel to be here and to have worked with such a dedicated, ethical, and yes, visionary group of community members, volunteers, and staff. And I have also been deeply touched by community members' involvement in and interest in Vision PDX. One of the most common questions that we get is, how do we know that this vision isn't just going to sit on a shelf somewhere and gather dust? We believe that while the City of Portland is incorporating the values and ideas coming out of Vision PDX in the Portland Plan, Vision PDX was never meant to stop just with city government. We know that we'll take many diverse stakeholders, government, nonprofits, businesses, and individuals working together to ensure that the vision becomes a reality. You've also heard today about Bend and maybe have read a little about Hillsborough and how they released an action plan about 9 months after their visioning process was completed. That action plan was created through a community action coalition structure. While Portland's environment is different, and we may think that it's not quite right to do an action plan separate from the Portland Plan, a need has emerged for some sort of oversight group that could serve to convene stakeholders, coordinate vision to action work, and create benchmarks to measure successful implementation over the vision over time. Another comment we've heard time and again from community members is, please continue to engage us and involve us. Vision PDX did a great job at engaging all people in the community, and especially those who haven't been engaged in civic dialogue. A Vision Into Action Coalition would further the relationships developed, relationships that took 2 years to build, and that takes a lot of time and a lot of trust, and to guarantee accountability. It will allow community members to have a place at the table and a chance to actually impact the direction that Portland will take in the future. Joining the coalition would be a perfect way for people who are interested in taking action on the vision to continue to be involved, and it would ensure the expectations that have been raised from the community about how government works with its people are met. And of course, the coalition would be one very rich community resource and for engagement for the Portland Plan. In sum, we imagine that the Vision Into Action Coalition would be able to oversee and manage, with Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the grants process, be a hub for civic engagement and information sharing, and act really as the keepers of the vision. I encourage you to adopt the resolution tonight and to create the Vision Into Action Coalition. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've invited five folks who are going to briefly highlight some of the initiatives that could come about as a result of Vision PDX. So could Tom Lasdoba, Gail Castillo, Rich Gunderson, Connie Van Brunt, and Alice Perry please come up? We have enough chairs. Thank you all for being here. because time is moving on, if you folks could move through your presentations in very short order, we would appreciate it. But we know that they're important, so thank you for being here. And who would like to start?
I guess I'll go first. I was first on the list. My name is Tom Ostebaum with the Office of